Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Westlife Foodworld Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. We would like to remind you that certain statements made by the management in today's call may be forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect management's best judgment and analysis as of today. The actual results may differ materially from the current expectations based on a number of factors affecting the business. Please refer to the safe harbor disclosure in the earnings presentation. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan Jajal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vivian. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Westlife Foodworld earnings conference call for the third quarter ended 31st December 2022. I am Chintan Jajal, Lead IR at Westlife. From the management team, I have with me Mr. Amit Jatia, Vice Chairman, Ms. Smita Jatia, Managing Director, Mr. Saurabh Kalra, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Akshay Jatia, Executive Director, and Mr. Saurabh Bhudolia, Chief Financial Officer. We will kick off today's conversation with Smita sharing her thoughts on overall business progress and outlook. This will be followed by Akshay taking us through operational, financial, and strategic highlights. Post that, we can open the forum for questions and answers. We will be referring to earnings presentation and financial releases available on the stock exchange and the investors page of our website. With that, I now turn the call over to Smita. Thank you.
Thank you, Chintan. Hello, everyone. On behalf of the entire Westlife Foodworld team, I wish you all a very happy new year and thank you for participating in the call today. I'm happy to report that Westlife Foodworld has once again delivered and consistent results. We are able to produce another steady and profitable quarter thanks to the ongoing implementation of our strategy. Backed by the festivities, customer sentiments remain stable and we witness sustained momentum in the quarter gone by. This, coupled with menu innovation, convenience and a strong value proposition, helps us to serve our existing customers besides attracting new ones. We witness consistent growth in both our on-premise and off-premise channels owing to the strength of our omnichannel, continuous focus on cost optimization and operational excellence. Our outcomes demonstrate that we have developed a robust business model and a much-loved brand as a result of our clear and convincing strategic approach. We are committed to consistently reinventing our to keep up with the shifting market trends. Our expansion plans are on track towards opening 35 to 40 new restaurants in FY23 and 580 to 630 more by 2027. Growing at this pace, we are in a strong position to deliver accelerated business results and generate long-term value for all our stakeholders. I am delighted to inform you that Saurabh Bhudolia has joined our team as CFO. We are confident that he will play a key role in Westlife Foodworld. Finally, I'd like to thank all our employees and partners for their hard work providing excellent value to our customers. As a company, we pledge to prioritize consumer experience and productivity, building on our emerging digital advantages and providing differentiation in the marketplace. I want to express my gratitude on behalf of the entire Westlife family for your support and belief in us. I will now request Akshay to share the operational and financial highlights of the quarter gone by.
Thank you. Good day, everyone. I wish you a great 2023. It gives me immense happiness to share that we have posted market-leading performance with outstanding results across all parameters. In Q3 FY23, our record-breaking revenue of Rs. 6.1 billion increased by 28% year-on-year. This was supported by a 20% increase in same-store sales on the back of a healthy rise in guest counts. Even on the pre-COVID basis of FY20, we saw over 40% growth in sales in Q3 as well as 9 months. Healthy consumer adoption of our digital channels like the Global McDonald's app and self-ordering kiosks added to our in-store digital-led sales. As a result, we crossed over Rs. 2 billion of average monthly sales, with highest ever sales in October and subsequently in December, also helping us to gain market share amongst QSRs. As you can see on slide 5, our average sales per store in trailing 12 months increased to a new high of Rs. 64.7 million. Our three pillars of burger meals, chicken, and McCafe continue to drive our differentiated results. Menu initiatives like McCheese Burgers and the Kit Kat collaboration saw great consumer response. Simultaneously, we augmented our brand affinity through memorable brand campaigns, which are meals and family-focused. Fried chicken also continues to do well in the South. As you all would be aware, we also introduced the Chicken Big Mac for the first time in India in January. We will try and share an update on this next quarter. Moving on, I think consistency in growth across Western South markets served as the foundation for our impressive third quarter performance. On a pre-COVID basis, non-metro towns continue to grow at 1.5 times the rate of metro markets, reinforcing our belief in the emerging markets opportunity. If we look at channels, the growth trend has been broad-based, with the on-premise business maintaining its streak of healthy growth and gaining significant traction, while our off-premise business continued to rise steadily, yet again clocking double-digit growth and the best quarter ever. Overall, the on-premises business clocked 42% year-on-year growth and 23% over the pre-COVID base, while the off-premise business grew by 12% year-on-year and 85% over pre-COVID base. It also gives me pleasure to say that more than 57% of the system's total sales were made through digital channels like our mobile app, our self-ordering kiosk, and our McDelivery channel. We saw higher sales growth in our own channel, the McDelivery platform, owing to enhanced consumer affinity and festivity. The performance in delivery is also a strong reflection of all the work that our teams have been doing at the back end, which is leading to best ever scores in business operating KPIs. I believe that having a strong foundation through efficient operations will be key to serving the humongous consumption appetite of India. On to slide number 7. We saw an all-round improvement in profitability with EBITDA margin at 18%, reaching an all-time high. Our supply chain cost initiatives, along with better product mix and calibrated pricing actions to mitigate inflationary pressures, resulted in a 52 basis points year-on-year and 141 basis points sequential increase in gross margin to 66.9%. The gains further percolated to the restaurant operating margin, or ROM, which was up a healthy 35% year-on-year to Rs. 1.45 billion, implying a margin of 23.8% as against 22.6% last year. Our Q3 operating EBITDA of Rs. 1.1 billion and margin of 18% was helped by enhanced operating leverage. Our staff cost as a percentage of sales was higher on a year-on-year basis on account of variable payouts. However, on a 9-month or annualized basis, it was much lower than last year. Nevertheless, this is the third quarter in a row where we saw sequentially improving EBITDA margins. Our cash profit after tax stood at a record Rs. 753 million, implying a margin of 12.3%. We continue to maintain a strong balance sheet and liquidity position. Our operating performance will continue to generate healthy free cash and fuel our growth in the future. We are on track with our network expansion targets. We added 6 new restaurants in Q3, taking the total to 341 restaurants, including 288 McCafés, 67 drive-thru eateries, and 205 EOTF restaurants. A key highlight was the rapid modernization of our stores, making them more relevant for digitally savvy customers. Over 60 stores transitioned to the EOTF format during the quarter. Also, 6 new stores have been added in January as of today. Hence, overall, we retain our target of opening 35 to 40 new stores in FY23. In order to increase brand affinity, we launched several new brand campaigns under the umbrella of Festivals Make Families. To further reinforce our commitment towards fostering inclusion, we unveiled a new brand film under our marquee Eat Qual initiative. As you may be aware, as a milestone event, we charted our 5-year strategic growth path and unveiled our Vision 2027 in December. And we remain committed to achieving these goals guided by a well-defined strategic growth framework. With that, I now hand over the call to the moderator and open the forum for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may kindly press star 1 on your touchtone telephone. The operator will take your name and announce your turn in the question queue. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Latika Chopra from JP Morgan. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question was around your same-store sales growth. Would it be possible to give us a flavor of, a broad breakup of this 20% SSG in terms of increase in average ticket size versus number of transactions growth?
Hi, Latika. This is Amit here. Thank you for the question. As you know, we don't break up the guest count and average check, but I can tell you that there was robust growth in our guest count as well that kind of led to this growth in sales.
Largely driven by guest count.
It was largely driven by guest count.
Sure, Amit. Thank you. And my second question was around, your broader thoughts on the overall demand environment. Clearly, you have gained market share and, you elaborated, the key vectors of growth for you. But any broad color on how you are sensing the market growth for QSR and incrementally any comments on consumer behavior, in terms of upgrading, spends, frequency of consumption? Are you worried about, how inflation is affecting the consumer walk-ins into stores?
Sure, Radhika. I mean, as you know, I've fortunately been consistent over the last 10 years. Of course, we've seen all the ups and downs. And my philosophy is that all times are good times. I do hear about the environment getting tougher and so on all the time. But essentially, my philosophy is that we are very, very entrenched with our long-term strategy. And essentially, as I feel we've done in the last 3 or 4 quarters particularly, that strategy has played out and connected extremely well with the consumers. And even if we look at sort of the informal eating out market, visit growth, etc., even on, say, account of the visit growth, our share has been higher than that. So I feel that even if, suppose, the environment does get challenging, we are very confident that our strategies are long-term in nature and we should be able to navigate that. That's at least how we see it. We are not
for it, but we are always alert and adapting our strategy, our tactics, I would say, to adjust to the environment.
Sure, Amit, and I don't know whether you will give me a specific answer to this, but what I wanted to know was, on your delivery sales today, even if qualitatively, is the revenue coming from your own app higher than what you derive from aggregators?
No, currently the aggregator demand is higher than our own app, but our own app is growing quite well. We have, as we said in the in our report as well, between the 2 and 32 million customers downloads now, and the number of active users is increasing month on month. But it is dominated by third party aggregators even today.
All right. Thank you so much, and all the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Lavika.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avi Mehta from Macquarie. Kindly proceed.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I want to just build up on the earlier participant. Just could you give us a sense on how the inflation scenario right now as we speak, and whether if we have taken any additional price hikes?
Sure, Avi. We did take a 2% price hike in October, which we sort of mentioned in our earnings presentation. In terms of inflation, it is definitely much better than what it was before. And I feel that even though inflation has peaked a couple of quarters ago, I think because of our long-term supply chain methodology, our pricing protocol, we were able to navigate that quite well. And currently, we are not seeing very high pressure on commodity prices.
Okay, perfect. The second bit, I just wanted to kind of check on the store addition bit. Now, I do hear you've added almost about 17 to 6, close to about 23 odd stores in the 10 months till Jan. But the guidance that you give out, is this more, I should look at this more as a target that we look at internally, and you know, we are not kind of, we're looking at reaching that, may not be March, maybe April, but that's the broader philosophy, or how should I kind of look at this? I would love to hear your thoughts.
No. We maintain, I think again, over the last 10 years, if we maintain something, we tend to deliver that. So we are quite confident of between 35 to 40 restaurants this year. As you know, we've opened 6 restaurants already in January. The pipeline is very strong because we look at ground rates in the last quarter, and therefore we are quite confident to be in that range. And whatever sort of our Vision 2027 talks about, we are completely committed to making that happen, and you will see that happen year on year. So we stand by what we have talked about.
Perfect, Amit. And lastly, Amit, just a bookkeeping, if you could just, someone could help clarify the reason for this, you know, sequential increase in employee cost, because otherwise, you know, ADS is all up, gross margins are awesome. So I just, that was the only thing that I wasn't able to understand, and if there's any one-off over there.
Sure. No, in fact, that's why we kind of covered that in the commentary. You know, I've always maintained that particularly such costs should be looked at on a 9-month basis. And if you look at on from 5.9, we are at 5.3% of sales. So it has grown far lesser than sales, which is the operating leverage that we talk about. In this particular quarter, it had to do with bonus, and it had to do with provisions around ESOP and things like that, which kind of took the cost slightly up, you know, because given the results, that's something that we felt we would like to accrue already. So that's the quarter looks like that, but on a 9-month basis, you will see that we are all right.
Perfect, Amit. That's all from my side, and congratulations on this performance. Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you, Avi. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Nuvama Wealth. Kindly proceed.
First of all, congratulations on the great set of numbers. I have 2-3 questions revolving around the store network. So first of all, your presentation states that non-metro growth is 1.5 of metros in this quarter. So is this demand coming from smaller towns like amid this high inflation scenario, you know, would you see the demand coming more, and would this warrant in any change in our store opening mix of 60-40 in the future?
Let me ask Saurabh to take the question. Saurabh.
So we've seen, what we wanted to pinpoint, that there is a lot of opportunity available to us, especially in non-metro towns. Metro town opportunity continues to remain strong, and we're leveraging that. And non-metro, what we've seen is the demand has grown dramatically from pre-COVID levels. We do not see any softness as far as that is concerned. And we're fairly committed to all-round growth, where we will have growth coming out of both metro cities and non-metro cities. This is the larger point we wanted to make.
Correct. So, you know, I'll just build on that. As I've always maintained that we are only in 60 cities in our territory, while there could be 130 cities that have the potential. Clearly, that kind of goes back to the 580 to 630 restaurants that we are talking about, that opportunity is presenting itself, and the performance in these slightly smaller towns has been very robust. I think that's really the point we want to make.
So, would there be any possibility that the price hikes which we would have taken, that would be only applicable to metros and not so much to the non-metros? The average would be more higher in metros. Would there be a possibility of that?
So, while we don't give a breakup, when we are saying 2% price hike, it's a weighted average price increase. So, what will happen is 4% something, we don't take a price hike. It's product by product, it's restaurant by restaurant, and the composite score of there is 2% price increase. So, we will not be in a position to give the breakup store by store out here. But what you need to understand is broadly 2% was the cumulative price increase which we took. And normally we would not differentiate between metro and non-metro. But product by product, we would go about it. And some restaurant consideration are always taken.
Okay, thank you for that. My next question is, like, could you provide some color on this average revenue per store going forward? Because this quarter, the average revenue per store seems to be around, say, 7.2 CR per store. So, is this the peak for now, as you would be opening new stores at a higher rate going forward?
So, you know, I've got this question for, like, now many, many years. When we were at 5 crores, also the question was average peak. And it has peaked. So, we don't think that globally, when we look at the performance of the brand, even today, after 70 years of existence, comparable sales growth is part of our DNA. So, the simple answer is absolutely not. Our DNA is to grow same-store sales quarter on quarter, year on year. And therefore, while we've done extremely well with 7.1 crore, pretty much the highest in the industry, our ambition is to take this much higher than where we are today.
Yeah, and also, if you look at the presentation, also it's also a seasonal business. So, I think the key metrics which drive us is same store sales. And you will see same store sales being differentiated in the marketplace quarter on quarter, driving to the higher average unit volume sales. So, it is as simple as that for us.
Thank you. That's quite helpful. And just last one from my side, could you provide some color on this closed restaurant during the quarter? These were in metros and non-metros, and was it profitable at the operating level? I guess that's it from my side.
So, restaurant closure happens due to multiple reasons, primarily actually three reasons. Our term is expired, or there is an infra or something has happened around the visibility, trade area shifted. For example, one of the restaurants we shut down is Chennapatna, which was in Bangalore Mysore Highway. Now, all of a sudden, the highway has changed. It's a new highway, and there is no way you can reach a restaurant. So, we had to shut down. In another case, there was the restaurant, the trade area shifted. So, that's how we do it. Two stores for the entire year is actually not even a percent. So, we don't even talk about closed restaurants. We believe in opening restaurants. I think you will continuously see our total number of stores growing substantially. We do not like closing stores unless and until it's beyond our on reasons beyond our control. So that's how I look at closures.
Sure. Thank you for all this. All the rest.
Thank you.
Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to 2 per participant. Time permitting, you may return to the queue for follow-up questions. The next question is from the line of Shirish Pardeshi from Centrum Broking. Kindly proceed.
Hi, Amit. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats for achieving the excellent numbers. Just two questions. On slide 5, when I'm reading, chicken portfolio is being augmented and chicken Big Mac we have launched in January 23.
Sorry, you're too soft. We can't hear you. Can you be a little louder, please?
On slide 5, I'm reading, chicken portfolio has been augmented. So maybe the question there is that which all restaurants we have got or whether finally in the West we have introduced. And the second question on chicken Big Mac, which was launched in January. So how many stores we have rolled out of this primarily in the western part of the country?
So McSpicy fried chicken wings are actually available in Hyderabad and 3-4 restaurants in other places. If you look at chicken Big Mac launched across the system, which means across all restaurants.
So this 245 is price which is universal everywhere?
Sorry?
The what? The price?
Yeah,
I mean, it should be about that much. I mean, there are some differences.
It might be a rupee, 2 rupee difference here and there.
That's about it. Broadly, there's that, 245, whatever the price is.
Yeah. Okay. And my second and last question on the EOTF, which is slide 12. Can you provide, now we have got 205 EOTF stores, some quantitative numbers just from the sake of how this number is driving, whether footfall is coming or it's because of our ADS is growing or something, some convenience which is definitely working. So maybe quantitatively can back up.
Yes, sure. I mean, we don't share details around each platform. The important thing is that the customer experience is differentiated. And again, the way I would like to say is if you Google customer reviews around experience of the future stores, the answer lies right there and then. That typically for QSR, Google reviews range between 3 to 3.3, while our, out of 5, of course, while EOTF would range between 4.2, 4.3 to 4.5 out of 5. So that itself automatically leads to a better customer experience that leads to better sales. We believe that we have the largest portfolio of modern stores around QSR in the country. It's also redefining the QSR experience, and we think eventually customers will insist on this experience from all QSR brands, and that is where competitive advantage comes to us. So that's how we think about it. Obviously, financially, we are finding that it does make sense, and not only in India but globally, there is a big move towards experience of the future.
And luckily for us, if you look at it last quarter, the same store sales growth is largely driven by dining. And EOTF, McCafe together augurs extremely well. And I think you will see the differentiation in the dining results and overall growth amongst the other competitors.
Thanks, Amit. I do agree and I have seen the customer reviews. I'm more inclined asking this question primarily what kind of footfall growth we are seeing. And obviously the numbers are panning out and I have visited at least 3 stores in last 1.5 months. So I'm pretty excited on that, but just one follow-up here. Out of 341, you have already done 205. So to reach to 300 plus, do you need a lot of time or it's conscious that we are developing slowly?
No. I mean, I think last quarter we did 60. So that's a testament to the speed. But, you know, it has to be clubbed in with various other factors. So there are many things involved. It's not just that you pick up and convert. But the target is that within the next 12 to 18 months, within the next 24 months, we will be 100% experience of the future stores. Because all new stores are opening as experience of the future. And therefore, we just have to bridge the 150 gap, which will take 12 to 24 months.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amit, and all the best for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devanshu Bansal from MK Global. Can you proceed?
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on leading SSG at about 20%. Sir, I wanted to check if this SSG of 20% also includes some component of low base as we were relatively more impacted last year because of higher presence in South and West?
Yeah, if you look at it last year was the first time we announced on October, November, December that COVID was behind us and we had recovered fully, in fact, done a growth on top of pre-COVID numbers. So for us, October, November, December was a regular quarter in which we had shown growth over pre-COVID, and this October, November, December is actually on a stable base, is how we look at it. So we have looked at it as a strong quarter, delivering strong results, including October, November, December. So that's how we looked at it.
Got it. And compared to our sort of outlook of about high single-digit SSG for the next few years, so this number, if it is normal, then it is significantly higher. So are we relatively more conservative on the near-term outlook that we have sort of portrayed?
No, so, as you know, we never talk about near-term outlook, that is what it is. I mean, quarter-on-quarter is very hard to, talk, but we talk normally on a 3-year, 5-year horizon, and on a yearly basis, a sustainable same-store sales growth, as I've maintained, is always sort of 6-9%. And of course, as our strategy is playing out, we've been able to deliver, pretty strong numbers. So, I would like to leave it at that.
Got it, sir. And gross margin performance was also, quite strong at about 67%. So, I wanted to check if Q3 particularly has any seasonality in terms of better gross margin, or it is a good base to consider for quarters coming ahead.
I mean, I always look at every number from a consistency point of view on a 9-month basis, because quarter on quarter there are differences that happen, and therefore, if you want a better, the trend is looking all right because inflation's been okay as well. But I would look at the 9-month data to sort of build anything for the future.
Got it, sir. These were the questions from me. Good luck for the coming quarter. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Kindly proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on the great set of numbers. So my first question, is with regards to a couple of clarifications. One, the target of 35 to 40 stores, is that on a gross basis or a net basis?
That's on gross.
Okay. And so this chicken Big Mac that we have launched, so is this a limited launch? Because few newspapers that we read, was referring to this as a limited period launch.
It is a limited time offer.
And so the last final question, is with regards to the store additions. I mean, we are seeing, aggressive store addition in Q4 now. Going by the numbers, we will be opening somewhere around 18 to 20 stores for Q4. So do you think this in any way, could in the short term impact the AUVs? Because the new stores generally would, come with a drag. So anything on this front, if you can highlight, how the new stores are performing versus the system average or anything, any color on this?
I mean, generally, I feel, now that we've operated for over 25, 26 years, in the past also on a smaller base, if you open 30 restaurants, that is quite a bit of addition. So we are very careful and we do a very methodology in which we open new stores. So I feel that what in terms of 6-9% same store sales growth is what we will intend to deliver. And the way we plan new stores, there is a lot of opportunity in smaller towns. We just opened our second store at the airport in the domestic terminal, which has absolutely zero impact on anything. So there are a lot of trading areas that have no impact, and there are some trading areas where there is impact and it grows. But on a base of 350 stores, we feel that we can absorb this. We will not shelter ourselves in saying that by all these openings, our comps are going to be under pressure. Yeah, the intent is to deliver the single-digit high numbers. And we do believe that there are enough open markets where it will not impact same-store sales.
Sure. Also, my actually the question was more relevant to the newer ones. I mean, if you can just highlight how a particular store generally grows over a period of 2 to 3 years. So, for example, if in the first year it would be like 60% of the system average, then it goes to 80 and then 100.
It depends on market to market. So, it's not that I've not heard this question before. The important thing is, even if it opens at 100, yeah, it continues to grow as the trading area settles down. A store could open at, you've just heard that 7.1 crore is our average volume. A store could open at 10 crores. But if it opens at 10, it will go to 11. It will grow in the following quarter. There is no set number. But the important thing is it grows from once it opens.
Sure, sir. That will be all from me, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Nihal Mahesh Jam from Nuvama. Kindly proceed.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much and good evening to the management. So, a couple of questions from my side. First, you mentioned about the 2% price hike in October. What would be the cumulative hike you've taken over the last 12 months?
Yeah, it would be around in tune of around 7%.
That's helpful. The second question, I'm just going back to our performance versus the industry. I just wanted to understand one aspect of this was that over the last 12 months, I think we've been the most aggressive in terms of new product launches, and I'm counting even the chicken portfolio as a part of that. In your reading, do you see that that has been a key driver of maybe the footfalls or in a way the significant SSG that we've been seeing this quarter and maybe over the last couple of quarters? If there is anything you could highlight on that.
So I think we have laid down actually in the investor deck also that there are 3-4 in the informal eat out construct. We were already leaders in snacking. We're the only player who would do breakfast, and post dinner also we were leaders by far. There was a game to be played for meals during lunch and dinner. And we were very strategic, and this need arise right from the time only delivery was available during COVID. And we were very serious about it to be able to take this opportunity head on. And for that, we have talked about 3 pieces, right? 3-piece meal, which is the burger meals, the gourmet burger collection, and the fried chicken in South, right? So I think these 3 have augured extremely well. We haven't been actually very aggressive in launches. Very few new additions on the menu, but they've all been strategic. They've all been strategic imperatives in order to grow market share in meal. And whatever you see is a result of us being strategic rather than being random in terms of product launches. In fact, you'll be surprised to know that we've got only a very, very few SKU addition when we have done all this work in the last 2-3 years.
Sure. So what I was maybe referring to is that if you count gourmet with the chicken range and maybe the mac cheese range that you recently launched, is it that has become a significantly higher proportion over versus pre-COVID?
No, I don't think so. I mean, see, these are building blocks. You know, that does not take away from the aloo tikkis and the makwedis and the makchicken. You have to understand, that's what Saurabh was trying to explain, that it's not a product strategy. It's a occasion strategy. Yeah, it's about meals. It's about relevance of that occasion. Okay, so what meals do is build lunch and dinner. And these products are bigger products and that helps. But that's not replaced the aloo tikkis of the world and the makwedi and our McChicken, our spicy chicken. That portfolio continues to do quite well.
That is very helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amnish Agarwal from Prabhudas Lilladhar. Kindly proceed.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on good set of numbers. I have a couple of questions. First, I think during the commentary, perhaps Akshay mentioned that the manpower cost had an element of, you can say, one-time variable, you can say, incentive paid to the employees. So, it would be good if you can please quantify the same. That is one. Secondly, in the previous quarter, we have added 67 stores we have converted to EOTF and 15 McCafes we have added. So, what could be the capex on account of these particular, you can say, conversions? And does, you can say, these conversions plus the 15-20 stores which we plan to add in a matter of one quarter, so was there some front-ending of expenses with regards to manpower or overheads ahead of the openings of these stores? So, these are my two questions.
Sure. I mean, per se, we don't share breakup of our GNA growth, but we gave you the key reasons why the percentage has gone up. Again, if you look at 9 months, which is the more, bigger base and the right way to look at it, the numbers look all right. So, unfortunately, we are not going to be able to break up the bonus factor and all of that. Similarly, on CapEx, as we said, that we do, in fact, now generate some free cash flow as well. Typically, the CapEx is between 150 to 225 crores, of which about 60 to 80% typically goes into building new restaurants. That is roughly how our CapEx is broken out. Particularly, front-ending, the good news is that our net debt position remains very robust, our net cash debt position. So, therefore, even with all these expenses, I think our cash flow has been very strong and we manage that quite all right. And if you are going to grow stores, we need to ensure that the development team is well built, because taking 25-30 restaurants to 45-50 with the right location, the right quality of negotiation with the landlord takes time. But I think that's manageable within the guidance that we've given in our Vision 2027. I think we are quite comfortable. We are not concerned that it would take GNA up beyond a point of our management, our ability to manage it.
Okay, so that's really helpful. My, you can say, only submission was that in particularly Q3, because Q4 is going to be heavy in terms of store addition. So, was there any impact both in terms of the other expenses or the payroll due to, you can say, employees being hired and trained for the upcoming stores and some of the overheads?
Not to my mind. I mean, what happens is that, typically real estate cycle is 12 to 18 months. So, for the opening in the next quarter, this quarter is not impacted. Maybe 9 months ago, 10 months ago, it could have impacted. So, last quarter has no bearing on the next quarter. Because, the construction cycle is 60 to 75 days. So, if you are not in construction already, it's not going to open. So, you can't just hire in the quarter.
Okay, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Savyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum PMS. Can you proceed?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions from my side. First one, you mentioned you had a total price hike of 7% if I compare last year same quarter to this year same quarter, almost 7% of price hike. I believe out of the 20% SSG growth, there would be some portion of effect from the premiumization happening through gourmet burgers and the chicken portion. So what would that amount to be in terms of percentage, if you can highlight the thing?
So firstly, we don't break up the 20% component. Also, math does not work where you've taken a 7% hike and 7% is out of the 27% is your price increase. It doesn't work like that. There is a rebalancing that happens, and therefore, it's almost impossible to predict. The important thing is, I think, as I mentioned in the first question, that our growth has come on the back of robust guest count growth. And that is the important thing, because our strategies are working. We talked about the meal occasion. We are already leaders in snacking and other day parts. And the meal occasion is resonating with the consumer because the products are now relevant for the meal occasion. and that is what is driving footfalls into McDonald's restaurants in West and South. It is aided by McCafe, it is aided by experience of the future and the modern restaurants that we have, and everything together plays a part. That is how at least we see it. Again, for example, when you go to an experience of the future store, there's a very nice looking restaurant with McCafe. You know, people come in bigger groups sometimes. You know, there'll be more coffee buying, which pushes the average check up. So it's a combination of all of that. Price hike does not total up in the way, you know, you would suggest.
Typically in an FMCG, that's where you will calculate that this is the price increase, this is the product. For us, it's customers coming in, and sometimes they would buy something, they would buy something else. So price increase doesn't necessarily flow into the sales or average check as an exact formula. That's not how it goes.
So the reason why I'm asking, where I'm coming from is, if I go back and to your commentary of 6-9% kind of a steady state SSSG growth that you see in the medium to long term, that 6-9% should come from, in my sense, 5-5.5% kind of a inflation trend that we see in India, and the rest probably 3-4% coming from the volume part. So from a footfall perspective, I just wanted to understand that, you know, how much of this 20% would have been contributed by the footfall or the guest count. Is it 10% or more than, and is it in double digits or single digits?
I'll explain to you what is the best I can. One, you can look at our history. Number two, we typically take price increase of about 3%, 2-3% a year. And therefore, like I explained to you, the math is not complete, because many times customers trade down if they don't like the price increase as well. So you're not able to capture the entire increase. But basically, our DNA is about growing guest counts. Our DNA is not just about growing average check. But to give you an example, what happens is, let's say when we introduce McCafe, somebody was coming in for lunch and now they like our coffee. So they've added a coffee, which is 99 rupees at that time, let's say. So what that has done is increase the average check. You understand? So we've been able to get the consumer to buy more. Second example is that when you look at meals, right? Obviously, a meal is a part of three pieces that you buy. If you versus buy only one aloo tikki when you come, but if you are coming for the meal occasion and buy a meal, what happens is your average check goes up. But now the consumer is now in their mindset, they know that there is good coffee at McDonald's. So we get one extra occasion of visit as well. And because I'm again making this up just to make my point, that they like the coffee, they could say, oh, at McDonald's we like the coffee and there is a meal, why don't we go there for lunch? So the brand starts becoming more relevant and usable for them. So this is how it plays between growing average check, price increases and footfall growth. Price increases normally only to, the way I see it, is to only manage inflation a little bit. But we push ourselves harder to grow sales through guest counts.
So you are suggesting, so just to summarize, are you suggesting that the same customer is probably coming more number of times because of the options he or she is getting? And whenever he or she is coming, visiting your restaurant, they are also ordering more than they used to order, and that's how the average check size is going up. Is that what you are suggesting?
Sabyasachi, you are not suggesting anything. It was just an example for you to understand that our business is a little different from how retail would evaluate it. Our business is average check, which is per order bill size, bill value, multiplied by the number of customers who come. What we are saying is, in the last quarter, this was majorly driven by, not by value increase per average ticket size, but was driven through the guest counts or footfall, as you call it in your language. We are not ready to give you a breakup at this point in time, but largely the vast majority of this growth has come out of the guest count.
And I'll give you one last example. I've made it before, but it's a better offline conversation than on the earnings call. But what happens is, earlier, let's say you wanted to have a cup of coffee, right? And you, before McDonald's had McCafe, there was a McDonald's, a Cafe Coffee Day, and some other brands. McDonald's would not come in your consideration set. Now McDonald's comes in your consideration set, so you get that extra visit. So I think we can take this offline, but essentially, as I tried to explain, that it's a mixture of everything.
Understood, sir. Very clear. Second question, your point towards the market share gain. As I see, probably it's a very small sample set, but then if I look at stores in Mumbai, there is one another competitor that has come up with the cassette proposition. So how do you see the competition growing and the coffee business, is it kind of affecting you, or it doesn't really affect at this point of time? How do you see competition right now?
Competition has been around for the last 25 years in different forms, and just because a competitor launches coffee does not take away from where we stand long term. And essentially, our results speak for themselves quarter on quarter. So, just because we do coffee does not mean that we'll hit somebody else. And just because somebody else does coffee does not mean it's going to take us away from where we are. Saurabh can take it more clearly, but to my mind, our results speak for themselves.
Yeah, so to me, it's about what focus one company has. I think as McDonald's, being the global leader, we always focus on our consumer. We saw the need of McCafe back in 2014. That's when the first McCafe was launched. So today we are talking about conversion of EOT at almost close to 100%. So to us, it's about following the consumer. We don't get very bothered about what competition is doing. In fact, to us, it's also a testament that people are following what we are doing. So right now, we see where the consumer is. There's a meal category. There's a meal play which we want to do. And then it's auguring quite well for us. It's giving us substantially differentiated results, and all the best to everybody in the marketplace.
Last question, if I can squeeze in. If I look at a long-term trend of McDonald's, let's say last 8 years, 9 years data, FY15, FY16, to 9 months, FY23. So now you're, and if I were to kind of annualize the average sales per store of the 3Q number, it is somewhere around 7 crores. And out of that, 60% is dining. So roughly 4 crores is dining, and balance 3 crores is from delivery. This number, dining number, 4 crores number, way back in FY15-16 was somewhere around 2.8-2.9. Then if I do a 7-8 years CAGR, the number comes around 5.5%, which is very in line with the inflation that is there in India. The question here is, again, boils down to the average sales per restaurant, that is people goes on asking that, where do you numbers settling in? Do you see the same kind of CAGR going ahead, 5.5-6% kind of average?
Well, I can tell you that we talked about in 2016 that we were at 4.5-5 crores. Today we are 7.1. Where the business is coming from is irrelevant. The important thing is we are capturing the customer occasion to eat out. And as I have maintained, this is going to continue to grow. We've given you a sense of the 6-9%, okay, and we've given you a sense of 2027, and that's really where we are.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Participants, if you wish to ask a question, kindly press star 1. The next question is from the line of Amrita from Wealth Managers India. Kindly proceed.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is regarding the breakfast menu. As in, how many stores offer breakfast menu right now, and what is the plan going ahead? And the second question is regarding, again, how does the breakfast menu contribute in the revenue per store and also the restaurant operating margins? Thank you.
So while we don't give individual breakups of what contribution each daypart has, I'm pleased to tell you that we have got around 30-35% of our restaurants which serve breakfast. And this is typically between 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock in the morning. And that's when we change the menu completely to the regular menu. So breakfast for us is a huge opportunity, especially on highways, etc., where there is a big morning business. In key cities like Mumbai and Bangalore, we've got substantial number of stores doing breakfast. For us, breakfast is a growth lever, which will play at some point in time. Right now, we're more focused towards meal as an occasion. And primarily burgers, chicken and coffee are the three areas where we see right now we need to have our laser sharp focus on.
Amrita, any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
No, just wanted to thank everybody for taking the time to join us today. Have a lovely evening and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Westlife Foodworld Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.